Good morning. We'll call the November 5th, 2013 Sussex County Council meeting to order. First thing is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. One amendment to the agenda. We can strike approval of the minutes. No other changes.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
There is none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from Council, Mrs. Deaver?
Yeah, I got a message and a request to come to a hearing today at 4 o'clock at the Cheer Center regarding paratransit fees that are going up substantially. And I think I will go to that, even though that's a state issue, as Georgia.
Okay, thank you. Any more correspondence from Council? Mr. Lawson.
Okay. First item today is a proclamation on Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. I have a proclamation to recognize Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month from the Sussex County Council. Whereas the Sussex County Council wishes to recognize organizations and individuals for their contributions to the betterment of the community, and the month of November is recognized as the Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month and is an opportunity for the public to learn about pancreatic cancer. And in 2013, an estimated 45,220 people will be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in the United States, and 38,000 will die from the disease. And pancreatic cancer is one of the deadliest cancers, is the fourth leading cause of cancer death in the United States, and is the only major cancer with a five-year relative survival rate in the single digits at just 6%. And whereas with symptoms of pancreatic cancer present themselves, it is often late stage, and 73% of cancer patients die within the first year of their diagnosis, while 94% of the pancreatic cancer patients die within the first 5 years, and approximately 120 deaths will occur as a result of pancreatic cancer in Delaware in 2013. The incidences and death rates for pancreatic cancer are increasing. Pancreatic cancer is anticipated to move from the fourth to the second leading cause of cancer death in the United States by 2020. Whereas the good health and well-being of the residents of Sussex County are enhanced as a direct result of increased awareness about pancreatic cancer and research into early detection, causes, and effective treatments. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby designate the month of November 2013 as Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month in Sussex County. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President.
Is there anybody here from?
We have a representative, Mr. Guy.
No.
No.
Okay. Okay. We have to sign a proclamation. If we can get that to him. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next, sir, I guess is the 2014 holiday schedule and county council meeting schedule.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. In your packets this week, there was a listing of the proposed 2014 dates by which the council will not meet, as well as the Sussex County holiday schedule for 2014. Summary, this is the same proposal that we are observing this year in holiday and council meetings. Very little change.
Okay. Do we need a motion to adopt that, sir?
Is there...
Mr. Cole.
Now, we still have the ability, let's just say, if we have, as we've had in the past, where there's really nothing for an agenda and we can cancel one without having to go through any extraordinary type of procedure, Mr. Moore. I'm just worried that, you know, as we see a downturn in the economy and construction and stuff, and it ties the staff up a lot to... and be more efficient if we didn't
We have the same procedure we have now, where in this past year there have been meetings that have been canceled with due notice.
Right.
And we still do that.
Because it would,
I
was just going to say, because it would be difficult to try to project out, I guess, where we should, you know, take off because of a lack of an agenda. Okay.
Mrs. Deaver?
I have a question regarding microphones, and I'll ask it when it's appropriate, but I'm getting... remarks. People cannot hear Vance or Sam, so I just want to, can you put them on us, maybe, Chip? Evidently, this isn't working.
Maybe have to put a little closer or something.
They just got to be closer.
Yeah. I say we need a motion, I assume.
Yes, I have a motion for your consideration.
Please.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the county's 2014 holiday schedule and the county council's 2014 schedule as presented.
Entertain a motion.
Second. I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips? Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Lawson?
Okay. County Administrator's report for November 5th, 2013. It's quite a lengthy report today. Bear with me. Item number one, Sussex County Council will join the Federal Emergency Management Agency in hosting a public meeting in early December for property owners and residents to review proposed changes to federally mandated floodplain maps that could have implications on future construction and homeowner insurance rates. At that meeting, representatives of county government, the Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, FEMA, and their mapping partners will be on hand to explain the proposed flood insurance rate maps, or FIRM, for Sussex County. The maps, which identify flood-prone areas within the county and have been updated for the first time since 2005 using modern mapping technology and improved information. The maps are used by insurance companies to determine flood insurance rates for buildings and contents. Sussex County is required to adopt updated maps to continue participating in the National Flood Insurance Program and make flood insurance available to the community. The open house will be held from 4 to 6 p.m. Monday, December 2nd at the Cheer Center in Georgetown. Information is already available now on the county's website at sussexcountyde.gov/firm, F-I-R-M. Interactive mapping is also available at www.r3coastal.com. That's a FEMA-sponsored website. For more information, contact Sussex County Environmental and Floodplain Manager Jeff Shockley at 855-7884 or jcshockley@sussexcountyde.gov. Okay, item number two. Sussex County Emergency Operations will host a recovery workshop on Thursday, this Thursday, November 7th. This workshop will be an opportunity for local, county, and state agencies, as well as first responders and private sector partners, to discuss the major issues facing Sussex County in the wake of a significant hurricane. It will also serve as an opportunity to discuss existing capabilities, to identify gaps and interdependencies among participating entity plans, and to determine needed fund planning efforts. Registration begins at 8 a.m. at the Cheer Center, located in Georgetown, Delaware, and the event will run until approximately 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. Item number three, President Vinson asked a question last week regarding the Social Security Administration's Georgetown office. I have an update at this point. Item number three, the decision to move the Georgetown Social Security Administration office was one reached between the Social Security Administration and the U.S. General Services Administration. At the time, the SASA and the GSA report that there were a number of issues at play, including the cost of real estate, survey of SSA users and staff, and additional factors. I will continue to monitor the situation and work with our federal delegation to get additional updates. They have also asked the Social Security Administration what was behind the decision and if the decision can be changed. We are pending an answer.
Is a formal motion from this council appropriate at some point?
If you'd like to take a position or make any kind of correspondence to our delegation or the Social Security Administration, certainly that's something you could entertain.
Well, I have very serious concerns for my constituents from the western side as well as from South Bethany and Fenwick. The idea of traveling north on one in the summertime to get to the Social Security office is almost nightmarish. Could I move? Would you be interested in my motion that we ask our national delegation, I suppose is the right one, to look into this and, if possible, keep the Social Security office in Georgetown?
Are you saying they don't go north on one if they're from the...
Saying that it's more convenient for most of the county to go to Georgetown as opposed to the Vineyards, Lewis.
Or even Millsboro, actually, is
George
sometimes
George
appears to be more centrally located than than even Georgetown.
We have a motion from Councilman Phillips. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second. Yeah, I think, yeah, I think Vineyard seems like an awkward spot.
Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Not right now. I'd like to look into it some more because I kind of suspect that it's something to save money, and if it is, I like it.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Item number four, per the attached Delaware State Police activity report for September, there were 3,990 total traffic arrests, 1,329 total criminal arrests. Of that, 503 were felony and 826 were misdemeanor criminal arrests. Of the total hours spent on duty, 38% were spent on criminal investigations. Item number five, attached, please find the cost statistics for the fire and ambulance call board for October 2013. There were 16,034 total calls handled in the month of October. Of that, 911 calls, 78% were made from wireless phones. Item number six, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Carillon Square received substantial completion effective October 30, 2013. And finally, item number seven, county offices will be closed on Monday, November 11th in honor of Veterans Day. Offices will reopen Tuesday, November 12th at 8:30, and council will meet at 10 a.m.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some questions about
Mr. Deaver.
Thank you. The first item of FEMA flood map meeting, adopt that, and would that, do we expect a lot of changes in how we zone and approve new projects, or, I'm just wondering. Yeah. Seems like it might. We might have some changes to deal with.
Yes, we will have to review the maps, and part of the exercise is having our planning and zoning office come before the council mm-hmm. with recommended changes. I'm aware that Director Lank is working with stakeholders in the state as well as with FEMA to look at the proposed recommendations. I think all that is required is to come before you with proposed recommendations for your consideration.
Okay.
That's something that we will have to do in the time frame that is allotted to us before the maps are finalized. We have scheduled to have that happen by the end of this year.
Okay. And number two is about the recovery workshop for the emergency operations. Folks, I've got people living in communities that have one entrance only, and I spoke to Director Lank, and he's telling me that that was not our decision. That was DLDOT's. I'd like to stop that. We need two. That's not safe just to have one way to get into your community, especially when it comes out on Route 1. So I'd like to look into that in the future.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
Mrs. Jennings, Human Service Grants.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of Council. Today I'm recommending a list of agencies to receive the fiscal 2014 Human Service Grant. There have been no changes in the process and level of funding from last fiscal year. There has been one addition, Western Sussex Boys and Girls Club, since I sent out the spreadsheet last week. That is why it's at your seat right now. The recommended grants are within the established budget. There are 85 agencies that are recommended to receive funds that total $144,520. I have a motion for your consideration.
Have we ever funded Pumpkin Chunkin' in this?
We have not.
Never in human service.
Not there, but we have funded it, $5,000.
Any other questions of Mrs. Jennings?
There's $1,000 left over?
After the Western Sussex, there's no money left over.
Right. Anything else, Mrs. Jennings? You have a motion, ma'am?
Yes. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the fiscal year 2014 Human Service Grant recommendation as presented.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second,
Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion?
No.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
No questions. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And what was the total amount again, Gene, of that we give?
$144,520.
All right, 144 plus. Okay.
Yeah, I do have a little question here. Maybe you can help me understand. Council grants. Is there somewhere where we have guidelines to go by to decide? In other words, I understand historically that It was started because we don't have Parks and Recreation, and that's what I understood then. And it was to help the sports teams, you know, that type of thing. And then we sort of got away from that. Is there any kind of guideline for a council person to look at?
For your discretionary money, I believe there is guidelines. Ms. Jennings?
Right. They have to be a nonprofit.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I always look back to see what we've done in the past and let you have that information. And then if you find it acceptable because it's a nonprofit and you want to fund it, then we put it on the agenda to vote at that time.
That's very wide-ranging. Very wide. Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay. Dental and vision plan recommendation. Mr. Jennings.
Okay. I, along with Human Resources and our insurance consultant, Insurance Buyers Council, will be presenting the results of the dental and vision request for proposal. As you are aware, the county has a dental and vision reimbursement program. This involves us processing and reimbursing all claims in-house. During the budget process, Council decided it may be best for the county and its employees to implement a new dental and vision plan. An RFP was developed, and with the goals of a better benefit for employees while saving costs for the county, we received responses from eligible providers in late September. In October, we evaluated the responses and we met with the top providers for each plan, and we are now ready to make that recommendation to council. I'm turning it over to Mary Ellen McDonald.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. My name is Mary Ellen McDonald, and I'm with Insurance Buyers Council out of Cockeysville, Maryland. You'll be seeing the PowerPoint shortly, but I'll go over the project summary with help of legal counsel. We developed an RFP, a request for proposal. We sent it out to bid. We also publicly advertised the RFP, and as Gina alluded to, we analyzed the results. And no problem. I'll just talk a little bit about the project overview. There we go. Okay. So as I mentioned, we sent it out to several carriers, publicly advertised it, and the factors that we were considering in the RFP process were pricing, carrier strength, plan design, vendor services, value-added services, especially the strength of the dental and vision networks and implementation procedures that the carriers have. So we had some challenges with this particular RFP because it is an in-house reimbursement program currently. So there's no claims data. There's no carriers like a Delta, an Aetna, they like to have robust claims data. So some carriers declined to quote, or if they were quoting fully insured rates, they just quoted manual rates. So
we didn't keep any records, you say?
Oh, no, sir. No,
oh,
there
okay.
were records, but it's not what carriers like to see.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're
okay.
used to seeing codes, pricing,
okay.
allow,
no,
know, that type of thing.
So I was thinking you were saying we didn't keep records.
Oh, not at all, sir. No. Okay.
Gina just sent checks out once. Don't worry about
that's
right.
what I was thinking was going on, yeah.
Okay, so that is what I'm talking about here with the challenges. So with the current arrangement and in-house reimbursement plan, utilization and claims data was not as robust. Without claims data, some vendors either declined to quote or only quoted manual rates for fully insured. So the next slide. Okay, it's difficult to see, but this shows you all the carriers that we sent the RFP to: Aetna, Cigna, Delta, DentaQuest, Dominion, iMed, because this was also for vision as well. Some carriers could quote both. Some could only quote one or the other. And the result, this is the result summary of everybody who we went out to. Other people requested the RFP, and they ultimately, even after they requested, declined to quote. So okay, so one of the decision points is whether you're going to go fully insured or self-funded. And self-funded is, and these are some pros and cons. With self-insured, it is the way to go because you don't pay a fee if there isn't a claim. whereas you're paying a monthly rate all the time on fully insured. So with self-funded, it is just an admin fee and claims. So that was our decision point one, and we did select. Okay, so one of the main tenets of the program is the strength of the network, because right now you're paying charges. If a dentist or a vision provider charges $1,000, that's what the county is being charged, and that's what you're paying after the deductible and the reimbursements mechanism, which Karen will go into next.
Yeah, so they always find them, too. They always find them.
Yes, yes.
Very good at that.
Yes. So here we have just some general results and strength of network, and Delta also has the state of Delaware, and though I know you want to differentiate yourself from the state, that is a strength because they're constantly recruiting new dentists into the network, and it is with the network where the allowed benefit is applied, meaning the county pays less, the employees pay less, and the employee dollars are stretched because they have more to use because of the strength of the networks. Network providers agree to accept the allowed benefit as payment in full.
So if you self-insure, that you would still have to go to a network provider. Is that what you're saying?
Self-insured, yes. It's just the funding mechanism on the back end. It's,
right.
But you can go in or out of network, and we have provisions, especially in the dental, to pay claims at a 90th percentile the first year. Now, that's probably foreign. But what it does is it helps bridge the gap that first year to see if people can choose dentists that are in the network. And so, but they'll still get a reimbursement. Their reimbursement will go further. The county will pay less than paying whatever dentist wants to charge. And the rural nature of the county is why a lot of these dentists and vision providers don't have to join, because they can have patients in their seats without having to join networks, because you still have to go to the dentist and you still have to get glasses. So, but that's actually why the county of the state of Delaware being with Delta is such a plus, because they're constantly recruiting new providers. So, and if they choose an in-network provider, employees don't have to come up with the cash up front. The dentist will bill them, and that is nice, especially at the end of the year when you're trying to use your flexible spending dollars. So, okay, I'm just ready to move on to, okay, so you have your packets and it shows you more detail, but we'll move on to the vision. This is the plan design here. Again, you have an out-of-network option, but VSP is Vision Service Plan. They are a nationally recognized vision provider. Some of their providers include Costco, Sam's Club, and we did an analysis of the provider network for VSP, but this is the plan design. And to follow, it was actually very close with iMed and VSP. We did secure an additional year of rate guarantee with VSP, so we have 4 years rate guarantees on VSP and Delta Dental, locked in for 4 years, so that's good. And I am on 12. Okay, and here you can see this is the other reason for the selection of VSP. The breadth of provider network is much greater than the next finalist. Okay, thank you. Moving on to our recommendation. Aetna came in with a good price, but they didn't have references. They didn't understand the current reimbursement plan. They thought you had a plan in place. Therefore, Delta fared much better in the weighted comparison, as you can see, and 92. iMed and VSP were very close, but VSP had a stronger network and had references. Oh, I didn't change slide. Excuse me. I've moved on to the vision. Okay, so VSP. I did finally get references from iMed, but there was only one public sector reference, and it was in Nevada. So not as relative as VSP's references, which were provided at the onset. So in summary, okay, the benefits of self-funding, I'll just go through this. Improved cash flow, meaning you only pay monthly claims. You only pay if there's a claim, not a monthly rate. Expenses are simply an admin fee plus claims. And the risk is minimal because there's no shock claims. You're not going to have a...
There's a limit.
There's a max. There's a max. You're not going to have a $50,000 like you do in medical. You're not going to have a shock claim. Additional benefits from moving from an in-house plan to a vendor include claims are no longer processed through the myriad of processes and procedures that currently take place, and Karen will talk about that. The potential of abuse is diminished because claims are running through a network, and if claims have been already submitted once, that will come out through the process. Employee dollars go further with a vendor-managed plan, and that is because when you're paying, you know, you're going to max out if you just have the $1,000, or if you get a pair of glasses and go to the dentist, you're maxed out. But if the allowed benefit is applied, your employee dollars are going to go further. And then Delta is recommended because of the network penetration in the state, the three Delaware governmental references provided, including the state of Delaware. They extended their ASO, and ASO stands for Administrative Services Only, self-funded, to 3 years and had a competitive fee. They have implementation and account management expertise. Vision Service Plan, they are recommended because they have higher reimbursements and they have slightly higher admin costs, but it's a better, it's a much better product, better network, better references. Value-added services, they have a hearing aid program and a contact lens rebate program. They're constantly adding new bells and whistles that all your employees will have access to. From participating providers such as Costco, VisionWorks, and that will appeal to a wide range of employees. They are a not-for-profit company, and both vendors have provided local representation and support to Sussex. Both vendors are completely committed to support and during implementation now and in the future.
Okay, packet. I didn't get it.
It's in the, on the computer.
Okay.
Okay, so we've done some of the next steps. We've had our finalist meetings. We've confirmed the funding method. We've confirmed the final plan designs. We need, obviously, to do what we're doing today. And we need to notify the carriers, begin the activities, and be prepared for employee reaction, which the HR staff is great here. So with that, I'll open up to any questions.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
I understand that Delaware doesn't have reciprocity with other states as far as dentists are concerned. Has that changed or is that still the same? It's kind of like a protection for dentists in Delaware.
Well, the dental lobby in the state of Delaware is very strong. As far as reciprocity, I don't know how that comes into play with this plan.
They can't just open up an office in Delaware and start practicing, even if they're from Salisbury. They have to go through whole, you know, they have to be qualified, and it's daunting, I would think. But
yes.
It's a protective, it's a protect.
Yes.
Protection.
Yes.
But I don't know if it helps us. I think it hurts us.
I think that Delaware is a very difficult state.
Very small.
And rural and...
What state are you from?
Pardon me?
And what state are you from?
I'm from Maryland.
You talk about Delaware being difficult?
Yeah. This is true. I'm only talking about dental vision, though.
Well, let me ask.
Yes, please.
This as if an employee is on vacation and they need vision or dental work, what can they do? Are they able through these plans walk into a dentist office, get some work, or
absolutely these
and then it's reimbursed.
Yes, actually, if they were in another state, if they were in Maryland, let's say, and needed work, and they participated with Delta, they would be able to have.
But would they have to find a dentist that is in the network or something? Can
no.
they just go into the nearest dentist and get some?
If it's an emergency situation, absolutely. Even if it were not an emergency situation.
Well, if they're on their vacation, they're residing in Florida Some of our employees do that all winter. And they needed dental work, they would.
They have an out-of-network benefit, okay, that's reimbursed at the 90th percentile for the first year to help bridge that gap.
I'm just making sure somebody, if they're on vacation or out of state, they can go somewhere.
Absolutely. Both plans, both dental and vision, have out-of-network provisions. Absolutely. Okay.
And I'm assuming the network's going to only include Delaware practitioners.
No, it goes out to
Does
Maryland.
It?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
That's very
Salisbury.
Good. Okay, great.
So
she's from Maryland. She wants to go back there and get all her work done.
I live in Sussex County, and I love Sussex County.
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
That's good.
That's how they do it, George.
That's a plus. Sam, that's a plus.
Any more questions? Any more questions of Ms. McDonald?
Vance represents Sharptown.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to turn it over to Karen Brewington, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. Good morning.
Morning.
All right, I'm going to go a little bit more into detail with the dental and vision RFP as it relates to Sussex County, our internal claims, our reimbursement plan, and then transitioning into the provider insurance with VSP and Delta, if those are the chosen. So first I want to talk about our current dental and vision reimbursement model. So our reimbursement model today is when you submit a dental or vision claim, you can go to any provider that you wish to, whether it be we don't have an in-network or out-of-network, so you can go anywhere. The first $100 of your claim is paid at 100%. And then we have a $50 unpaid deductible that gets applied. Next $400 is paid at 80%, and then the next $1,160 is paid at 50%, which means in order to maximize your dental and vision, you would need to spend $1,710.
You get back $1,000.
And you get back $1,000.
In a year.
In 1 year.
In 1 year.
In 1 year. So the problem with this reimbursement model is if someone has glasses and they spend $1,000 with glasses, they don't have a whole lot more money to go to the dentist.
That's combined dental and vision?
Yes.
It's dental and vision.
Right, that's combined.
Yeah. The dental that we're proposing is $1,500 max per calendar year. So you can see that their dollars have stretched more with this new program. Okay. Any questions about the current model?
No.
Okay. So why should we move towards vision and dental insurance? Well, most of the issues that I get from employees is I have three children. I go to the dentist. I have to pay up front all the money. I can't afford it. I can't do it. So in this model, the new model that we're proposing is when you go to the dentist, if you use someone that is either a premier dentist or a PPO dentist, a participating provider, you don't pay up front. You only pay the balance that's due. So for cleanings, exams, x-rays, 100%.
And we're going to have a big old list about who they are, right?
Yes.
Okay.
For the restorative, which would be for fillings, it's 80%. And then any major work would be 50%, the way it is now. Root canals, crowns, those types of things.
So that doesn't change?
That doesn't change in the sense that when you go to the dentist now, you may not have to pay anything up front or just the balance due instead of the entire cost. And if they're a participating provider, they'll bill the insurance company for you. So as it stands now, you have to wait for your money for about a month. By the time it comes in, it goes through the system, gets processed, and a check goes out. Now if they go to the dentist, they can show their card, their insurance card. Dentist can bill for them. Okay. Negotiated rates for services. So, for instance, I get my teeth cleaned. Twice a year, I get bite wings in my exam, and it costs me $200. Now, if I go to the dentist and it's a PPO, which is the deepest discount, or a premier provider, I now have a negotiated rate. So now my negotiated rate may be $160. So that means the total claim for the county is $160 that's going to be submitted in. And it's a savings for the employee as well because you're not paying the full price and getting that formula. All claims go through a network, and that's what Mary Ellen had hit on. Right now, we don't have a network, so we don't know if anyone is using another insurance company or not. We just have to pay whatever comes in to us. So it does decrease, you know, the chance for any kind of misuse of the policy.
Well, you always know whether other companies have reimbursed the patient.
We don't know that now unless unless the employee provides it. So if they
aren't they required to?
It's required to, but you know, we can't check that. There's no checks and balances in this system.
Really?
Like
I thought you'd
going through a network.
Okay, is there any sense that there's any problem with the current system?
We wouldn't know. There's just no checks and balances. So if someone
you don't have any indication, and as a director you don't have any, your intuition doesn't tell you that you think there is anything?
I would like to hope that no, we don't, but this does help with that, with the misuse.
Well, you somehow found out on mine that Blue Cross had paid $24.
Because, and that's a good point that you made, because it goes through a network. Blue Cross Blue Shield is a network. That's a health network.
All right.
Right now, we don't go through a network. It's just in-house
administration.
So there's no way that we can put everything into a system and see if any claims have been paid.
Okay.
Approximately about 10 people process claims in-house today. So it's a lot of hands that go through them between the HR department and then also the finance department. Okay. Participating dentists only collect the balance due. So again, if I go to the dentist and I don't have to pay the whole thing, wait for my reimbursement a month later to come through. Or if I forget to turn in my reimbursement, it could be even longer. So more savings for the county and employees. Okay, so let's go through a claim real quickly. This is an employee only, and two exams and cleanings a year. Employee is going to submit $310. The county used to pay $228 with our reimbursement program, and the employee would pay out of pocket $82 under the current plan. With the insurance, the county will now pay $159. And the employee will pay $65. And that's because of the negotiated rates. Ooh. And that's a PPO. That is the deepest discount. That's the deepest savings that you can get with a participating provider.
Good.
We currently ran numbers of employees that are going through PPO dentist and also Premier, and we do have a lot that will hit both of these categories. And again, this does hit Maryland as well. So using the Premier, not as big of a discount, but we'll see still a discount. So county pays $228, and employees out of pocket $82. Now the county pays $205. Employee pays $65 still. So more savings, $23 and then $17 for the employee. And they don't have to pay all the money up front, which is the biggest.
When you figured the savings, did you count overhead in there for, you know, to process all of this?
We actually sent claims that we currently have to all of our, out for our RFP and asked them to apply the discounts for a PPO or a Premier dentist, and these are the numbers that came back.
Mm-hmm.
So actual claims were sent in.
But it doesn't include our overhead, no. We didn't even include that.
It's just our administrative fees.
This is just claims. Cash.
This is in our administrative fees, yeah.
Right.
And administrative fees that are being charged by the provider to us, we just kind of said, hey, it's a wash, is where we went with it. It's just a wash.
All right.
Taking a very conservative approach with it. Okay. So this is taking into account, there's a pre-tax deduction for the employees of $2.50 per pay, which is $65 annually, which is not a true figure, $65, because it's pre-tax. Okay, and keep in mind that the deductible on our old plan was $50. Okay, so looking at it from the next tier, Employee Plus One with PPO and Premier, I'm not going to go through all of these individually because you've saw the previous slide, but submitting $620, you can see a savings for PPO for the county of $138, $34 for employees, $46 for the Premier, and $34 for the employees for the Premier. And then for Employee Plus One is $5 per pay, pre-tax, $130 annually.
When you look at the use of money, the employee does quite well.
Right.
Under this plan.
They do. They do.
As opposed to before.
They do. Yeah. And you know, and it's nice because they can break out that that $5 per pay, that $130 throughout the year, instead of us applying a $50 deductible initially to a reimbursement claim, it's spread out through the year and pre-tax. Okay, so for family coverage, so this is based on a family of four. Of course, if it increases, the savings increase. So we do have some families with more than four for the family coverage. Again, the PPO costs savings for the county, $276, employees $68, families $92 for Premier and $68 for the employee, and we would ask for a $10 per pay deduction. Now, all of these, dental and vision, are optional or voluntary. So if someone said, well, I really don't go to the dentist, so I don't need it, then they don't elect the dental. We're hoping that more people would take the opportunity to enroll in these programs, because really oral health and vision rolls over into medical claims as a decrease. You know, we would probably see some savings there when you think about high blood pressure, diabetes, those types of things.
Oh, we don't have that.
we hope not.
Well, would that carry forward if they don't use a dentist for a whole year and then they use a dentist the next year?
No, this is per calendar year, so they would have a maximum limit. Yep, per person, $1,500. So, you know, if I'm an employee, I'm going to pay $2.50 out of each check for the dental insurance. I go get my cleanings. I go twice a year. I don't pay a thing other than my deductions.
And how do we, like, I'm just, this is something popped in my mind. On a family, I know with the new Affordable Care Act, you know, you can, we're covering kids up to their 26 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
Kids. Is there an age limit on these?
It's the same, 26.
Mm-hmm. We have to do that?
Yes. Yep, with the Affordable Care Act, all of our benefits
get extended.
This
falls in under the Affordable Care Act?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, that's a good point, because, you know, we really looked into the Affordable Care Act when we looked into this plan, because with the Affordable Care Act, they're wanting to monitor your numbers and your spending, and, you know, other than total claims, we have no avenue to give the opportunity for savings for the county or our employees with a current reimbursement plan. If the claim's $500, the claim's $500. Mm-hmm. If we deal with a participating provider within the network, whether it be PPO or Premier, there is a discount. So there's that opportunity for savings. And we can get reports off this, claim information. If, you know, there is, like we talked about with disease management, so if we're finding that there's some issues from vision or dental, it can roll over into our disease management for health and can work with our health advocate there. Okay. VSP, I'll go over these really briefly because Mary Ellen had these in her presentation. Well vision exam, $10. Frames, the copay is $25 with a $150 allowance. So if you decide that you wanted to go with really expensive frames, the 20% is going to go above the $150, that discount. So you're still going to be paying less money for your frames. And then $170 allowance for some featured frame brands. This includes single vision line, bifocal line, trifocal lenses. Contacts, there's a $150 allowance. There is no copay for contacts. Some companies do charge the fitting in the evaluation. We have a copay up to $60. And then there's extra savings and discounts with VSP, where you can get 20% off additional glasses, sunglasses, add-ons, things like polycarbonate, those types of things that they offer as extra. 15% off regular laser vision correction, or a 5% off the promotional price. And then again, savings on progressive lenses, polycarbonate, add-ons. So what we're asking for employees who voluntarily elect to be in the vision program, for the employee, it's $1.25 per pay, employee plus one, $2.50, and then employee plus two or more is $5.
The 15% off the laser, is that when they go in and actually, you know, do the laser on your eyes? Not that doesn't have to do with
glasses.
Okay, yes. So you get 15, if it was $5,000, they'd give you 15% off?
Correct, yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. So our estimated annual savings, our current cost for dental and vision for the county is $286,000. The estimated cost for dental and vision for the county with the new program is $279,000, which is an estimated annual savings of $7,000. Now, you're probably saying, well, we're seeing, you know, each claim. Why aren't we having a deeper discount? Mm-hmm. Because we've extended the dollars for the employees. So $1,500 per person for dental only. And before it was $1,000 for dental and vision. So you're able to stretch your dollars. And we do anticipate more employees taking advantage of the program now that there is no longer high out-of-pocket costs when you go to the dentist. So now a family of four can actually make their appointments. They can all go together. They don't have to worry about having, you know, $750 out-of-pocket right up front, which we do anticipate that the savings will pass on to our medical claims as well because of the health, you know, going more frequently and making sure that the oral health, the eye care is taken care of.
It would seem $7,000. It wouldn't take much for next year or something, a little wrinkle in this whole program. $7,000 would be gone. I mean, we went through all this for $7,000 savings? It doesn't seem like we got anywhere.
It's a conservative approach because we're not sure how many people are going to elect the PPO or how many people are going to elect a premier dentist. We do have some people. The more people that you see that go into the dentist and they're a PPO provider, there's going to be a deeper discount. And the savings is going to get passed on to the county and the employee. As we have a reimbursement program, there's no opportunity for savings at all. It's just paying the claims.
And the fact that they're going to get more money to use.
And more money to use. And we've stretched, yeah, we've given more money out there as well.
Sure. And the hopes is that the employee will take advantage of that and utilize the dental or the eyeglass and go when they need to go and not wait till.
Right.
I
do have a copy of a current employee who submitted a claim in for the balance of their VSP reimbursement. Their spouse has VSP. So they turned in four eyeglasses. The VSP, without VSP, it was $692. With VSP, the cost was $369.40, which was a total savings of $322.60. The county savings is $122 with that, you know, formula that we have. I'll pass these out.
Sure. That's for in-network.
This is for using VSP.
Yeah. Yeah. VSP.
Now, give us an idea. Do we have a list of who these people are in the county that are nearby, that are striking distance? Where and how many are there? Is it spread?
We're very short of dentists here, by the way.
There was a large number on that.
Is it on our thing here, Mike?
Yeah.
For the dental, for the PPO, we currently have 12 dentists that are in Sussex County currently. Kent County is 49 and Newcastle is 131. And it's because we're so rural down here, there's not as many dentists as there are in other counties.
But my concern is where are these 12? Do we have them plotted on like a map of Sussex County to give me an idea of where they're all located?
Yes.
If they're all in Seaford.
We have a listing of them.
It'd be a good thing.
We do have a listing. And if, you know, once, if we decide that, you know, today that we want to move forward with this, then what we would do is post these dentists out on our intranet. Currently, right now, I have one in Seaford, Dr. Mullen.
Keep going, Karen. That's good.
Okay. I have one in Georgetown, which is Dr. Brown. I have Dr. Bailey in Georgetown and Dr. Sohanage. In Lewis, I have Cahoon, Aloe, Carr, Fisher, Pollock, Tetzner, Rehoboth. I have Deering, Tidwell. And then we have a lot of folks that do go to Salisbury, and a lot of those Vickers, Krauss, a lot of people that are in orthodontia as well, and they are PPO providers. The orthodontia are the big ticket items because braces are a lot of money. So using a PPO as in the negotiated price costs is lower for claims.
In southeast Sussex down there, where did you read off any down around below the Indian River?
There was Rehoboth.
Well, Rehoboth and
Lewis were the...
Rehoboth and Lewis, okay. But mm-hmm. Was there anything south of Rehoboth and Lewis?
No.
Need to work on
no. that. No. For the PPO, now we do have Premier Dentist. And with the Premier, we have 36 in Sussex. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for Bethany Beach, we have Brown, Mark Brown, Paul Brown, Patellis, Dagsboro is Braffman, Butterworth, Fox, Georgetown, we have Lord & Wheeler, Ballier, we have Laurel, Lewis, Millsboro, Rehoboth, Ocean View. So we have quite a few premier dentists.
Well, I mean, that's important because employees live all over the county. We don't want to
make it too difficult. Can I add one thing?
Sure.
We do have a third tier for the out-of-network that we will cover for this year 90% of the claims. So that we know that dentists are far few between here in Sussex, so that we've gotten this third tier that is out of network that the county will be picking up the cost. And what happens is when you run the numbers, it works out that the county is paying the same as we paid on our old program. So there's no savings for the employee or the county. It's a wash. But we would like to encourage the employees to go to these premier and PPO, but we're giving them a year to do that. So
after a year, you're out of network guy is.
Well, we're going to then reevaluate it then to see what the price would be. But right now, we're going to cover it pretty much full, like we are now.
It's kind of like, you know, if you like your dentist, you'd like to be able to keep your dentist.
Right.
If I like my doctor, I'd like to keep my doctor. If I like my coverage, I'd like to keep my coverage.
Yeah.
There's no chance I can keep my crazy dentist?
You can always keep your dentist. Now, you're not going to see the deeper savings like you would for the folks that are participating in the program. Now, we will be reaching out to Delta when they came in. We talked to them. They have the strongest network. They have the most dentists within their program. We did talk to them about the providers, and they said, of course, the more people that come on Delta Dental and the people that use the dentist, you refer those in to us, and then we go out and we solicit them for our program to be a participating provider. It is completely up to your dentist whether or not they want to do that. So they may never, they may never do that. But then again, if they see, you know, the whole state of Delaware is going with Delta and Dominion. Dominion has very few providers in Sussex County. Very, very small. It's used mostly in Kent and New Castle County. So, you know, the more employers that are going towards this, the harder Delta's going to push for these folks to get in network.
So if you stay with your dentist and that person's not in any of those networks, then
We're still at a wash because we're going to get that same claim anyway. So there's the savings isn't going to be there, but the folks that are participating, at least we can see a savings with them.
Okay.
No. And if they are a premier dentist, again, they don't have to pay it all up front,
yeah.
Which is a huge, it's a huge benefit for the employees.
Very much.
And the person that's, I might have missed you said this, that's out of network, going to use their own dentist and they're not in the system. I know you said 90%, we're going to, but is that based on the $1,000?
They'll have $1,500 max,
okay. And
then we will each claim up to 90%.
I got you. Okay.
So
they still get the use of the more money that's going to cost them, but whatever. But okay.
Right.
I got a silly question. This on this, which Mary Beth handed out, it says all employees, is zip code detailed information. Does that include retirees?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I was going to say, because if we had an employee in Green Valley, Arizona, it's a hell of a commute.
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
it includes those as well. You know, so there's really no difference for those folks that are even in Florida, for instance, because right now they don't, you know, they're still submitting in the same claim information. So it, even on this program or a reimbursement, it's still $500 is $500. But if there is a provider, we have those employees that have providers, we have the opportunity for a discount.
So
it's no longer 500.
Retiree can go out of network or in network or
yep.
in the whole thing.
Okay. Absolutely.
Any more questions of Karen?
Sounds good. No problem.
Okay, what is our?
I have a motion.
I'm sorry.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve a self-funded contract with Delta Dental to provide dental coverage and a self-funded contract with VSP to provide vision coverage for Sussex County employees, pensioners, and their dependents.
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second,
Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes, I think it's a big improvement to the kind of coverage that our staff would get, and I think we're saving money, which is great.
Cole?
Yeah, based on our consultant and our employment director, we'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Based on staff recommendations, it's obvious that they've put a lot of work into this, and I know they do good work, so I'll vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
I just vote yes.
I also will vote yes, and thank you, Karen, and thank your consultants, and thank the rest of the staff that did this. It took a lot of effort to put it together, I'm sure of that. But I'm sure it will benefit our employees in the long run if they will take advantage of it. So, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Good question. Yes. We'll now move on the agenda to the 10:30 a.m. public hearing for the Mill Creek Sanitary Sewer District Easter Annexation.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. This is time and place for public hearing on the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District Easter Annexation. At this time, Mr. Ashman from the engineer's office will give a presentation to the council explaining the proposal. The council will have an opportunity to question that. After that, the public will have an opportunity to comment. After that comment, the county can take action. Mr. Ashman.
Thank you. I appeared before you back on September 17th of 2013 requesting permission for the engineering department to prepare and post notices for the Easter expansion of the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. The area includes parcel 134-1975.03, a property owned by Thomas and Megan Easter. It's located on the north side of Double Bridges Road in Baltimore 100. The expansion is based on a written request from the landowners citing a failing on-site system as their reason for the request. The property is able to gain sewer service by extending sewer lines from a connection point in Malcolm's Manor through an easement from the adjacent property owner. This is the Easter parcel, and this is the adjacent property owner back here, and there's a manhole in Malcolm's Manor Road. The parcel consists of 1.46 acres, more or less, and the owners will be subject to a system connection charge of $5,248 based on this year's rates. The parcel and surrounding areas were posted according to state law for public hearing, and to date we have heard no comments in support or opposition on the expansion.
How many houses are we talking about?
What's that?
How many houses are we talking about?
Just one.
One house.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions from council? If not, is there anyone here from the public that would like to comment on this matter? Is there anyone here from the public that would like to comment? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing in this matter, and the council can act if they so desire.
We will close the public hearing. If it's okay with council, close public comment. And Mr. Moore, if you'd read the short title.
Sure. A resolution to extend the boundary of the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District, MCSSD, to include tax map and parcel 1-34-19-75.03, situated on the north side of County Road 363, Double Bridges Road in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, Delaware.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Cole, to adopt the resolution as read by Mr. Moore. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, we sure give personal service, don't we, just for one house?
Mr. Cole.
It's great.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you. We'll back up to wastewater agreement, Hunter's Walk. Mr. Godwin here? Or
I don't see how here.
Is someone else going to?
Mike, you can do it.
Mike can do it, or I have the information in front of me, too.
Yeah, I don't have the information in front of me about the project.
Okay. All right, if I goof up, then you can come forward. Council, I have a motion for your consideration for a system connection charge of $260,388 for West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. For an 8 to 18-unit multifamily building, three buildings will be constructed during Phase 1, which will also total 54 units. This information was included in your packet on 5/9/13. Sussex County Engineering Department plan was approved, and on 2/28/13, Department of Natural Resources plan was approved. I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion, sir. I'm sorry, Mr. Cole.
I just got a question. Are they apartments? I mean, it seems can't be a townhouse. I can't imagine.
I think there are some combination of either condominiums or townhouses. They do not have private roads, so I know they are not single-family homes.
And I know West Rehoboth, we got capacity issues in different parts. This seems like a lot.
We have evaluated this project sometime in the past, and we determined capacity is available, so that's not an issue here.
Did I hear the name of the...
Hunter's Walk.
Hunter's Walk.
Oh, Hunter's Walk. Okay.
More questions? Mr. Lawson, if you'd read the motion, please.
Thank you. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County, project number 81-04, agreement number 956, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between the Sussex County Council and Hunter's Walk Lewis, LLC, for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Hunter's Walk, located in West Rehoboth, expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. And Mr. Rizzo, you're back up again.
I might as well
pump
stay
station
here.
30 improvement change order number two.
I have one item on the agenda, as Mr. Vincent indicated. It's in reference to a balancing change order for our pump station number 30 improvements. Last week we granted substantial completion, and I should mention we have Mr. Mike Gilbert of Whitman Reckwart and Associates, who was our project manager overseeing the construction with us, in case you have any questions. Normally I would have Mr. Hawks, but he's having dental work done today, and he could not
attend. Well, we got a new plan. He's lucky.
Who's he going to?
So. Well, he might not be covered.
So he should have waited a couple months.
We might not be covered. We're between plans.
Mike, can you or Mr. Gilbert provide us an understanding of what was done for these savings?
Mike, you want to jump up then?
Morning, Council.
Morning.
Number one, just for the public record, this isn't a balancing change order, Mike. It's a credit change order, but we'll have that next coming up next before the council.
Right.
There were four items on this change order that were taken into consideration. There was some shielded cables to the MAS pump units. These are the pumping units at Pump Station 30. There was installation of seven ARVs on the existing force main that emanated from the Pump Station 30 site that was outside the contract originally, but the county had some faulty air release valves on that line that would not allow that force main to operate in its full capacity. There was a third item was an alternative check valve credit that was approved for the project, and line item four was a $0 contract time extension for the contractor, primarily to take care of the ARV installation work on that existing force main.
Now, of the first three, were all of those credits to us, or I don't see the math here?
It was provided. You have it all in the council package. There's support for each item, and you are correct. Most of the first couple of items are a cost increase, and it's offset by a credit when we changed our valves, went to a lesser valve, and the $15,000 credit or the valve reduction actually, so to speak, funded the increases for the other items. So it's an overall credit.
With regards to the $15,000, was there any negotiating with the contractor, or is that the actual cost savings to the contractor as well as to
us? The negotiation was through the contractor, who was Bearing Construction.
Right.
The original valve that was specified during the initial design process, our surge calculations, Whitman surge calculations, and the conditions at the station are presented then to Golden Anderson, who is a standard county check valve for over 300 pumping station facilities to standardize the operations. Golden Anderson comes back, and they, you know, with the information provided and our input, they then suggest what they feel would be the best valve for the project. Unfortunately, these projects don't go from design to construction in 3 months. It takes several years to get out onto the street. During that process, Golden Anderson came back when we were going through the review process on the initial check valve. They came back and informed Whitman that particular valve, they had some reports from across the country that they were experiencing some minor problems with them, And they came back and said, based on the conditions of service of what we know is still out at the facility, they came back with a suggestion of another valve, an alternative check valve in this case here, that they thought would not only meet all the requirements of the original valve, but would provide even more easier maintenance and trouble-free service to the county. Right. And
I'm not to interrupt you, but I'm not questioning the wisdom of the change. I was questioning the cost.
Well, here's where I was getting to with that. In that process, the manufacturer, through their supplier, extended a $15,000 credit that was in full put forth by the general contractor. Directly, we are able to see that against the contract. So the Councilman Phillips, to answer your question, that the full credit was extended to the contract.
The original price was $77,869.92?
That would have been the original specified bill.
Okay. The new charge is $62,869.92.
That's for the alternate check valves, yeah.
Right, and that's where the $15,000 comes in, correct?
Exactly.
But those numbers they're given at the end under the total. There's really no indication of the cost of each of those parts in your ledger here, and I just didn't know if those are available. You've got four of the... what is it, air cushion check valves probably, but they show no net price. You've got two of the surge relief, but they show no net price. And same at the bottom with what we're giving up, you are showing the total, but you're not showing the actual charges or the actual net cost of the things that are being swapped out. And I didn't know if you had that handy.
No, I don't have that information. That was a lump sum proposal, which is often common for a general contractor to purchase through a supplier. In this particular case, we looked at the $15,000 credit as the total package. The four check valves were changed. Deliveries were actually expedited, and the contractor, because they could get to those valves quicker and sooner, offered the full credit back to the county. By contract, they could have been allowed to take a piece of that, but they... in good working relationship, they offered the full amount back.
Mm-hmm. One benefit of us working with Mike is that in his previous life, he was a contractor, but then he saw the light and took off his black hat and put on his white hat. And so the benefit of his expertise when he used to be on the other side of the table specifying and purchasing this equipment, I think that's a benefit to us.
It is. We don't have those numbers here, and I'm not going to hold up this vote for that. But is it something you could get to me?
I don't know that they provide any more detail than what they have here when
Behring
they price.
Provided no more detail than this?
This is from the actual supplier of the actual valves, the people who sell the valves.
Okay. All right.
Any more questions of Mr. Uzzo or Mr. Gilbert?
I have a motion I can
read. Sir, if you have a motion, please read your motion.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number 2 for Sussex County Project 09-17, South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facilities Pump Station number 30 improvements be approved at a credit amount of $6,878.10, which decreases the total contract to $3,432,787.80 and it increases the contract time by 114 days pending the receipt of approval from the funding agencies.
Pleasure of council.
I'll make it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Jewel Gibbons. Airport Wetland Mitigation Project, contract 11-06.
Good morning. I have one item, the Airport Wetland Mitigation Project, and this relates to the final change order and establishing substantial completion. The final change order is a credit to the contract in the amount of $34,212.48. There were a number of items which were contingent items which we did not need to use, and that is the reason for the credit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions of council? You have a motion?
I do. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that the final change order for Sussex County Contract Number 11-06 Airport Wetland Mitigation Project be approved, which decreases the original contract amount by $34,212.48 for a final contract total of $386,600.52, and that substantial completion be granted effective September 24, 2013, and any held retainage be released in accordance with the contract documents.
Okay, need a motion?
Entertain a motion?
I'll take it. I'll give it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. For a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Julie Cooper, Greenwood Library, Project 07-05, change order number 2.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here to request approval for a change order for the Greenwood Library project, which has is in construction right now. And it's a sum of a few different changes to the project. One of them was to, at the request of the staff of the library, we had told they want the magazine racks removed from the circulation desk. They were originally intended to be built right on the front of the desk. And the staff thought that may be too confusing to have people trying to get magazines and check out books at the same time. So we asked to have those eliminated, and in their place there would be decorative panels added.
Mm-hmm.
And those changes together resulted in a credit for $1,075. Mm-hmm. And another slight change was for safety. It was thought that some snow guards be put on the entrance canopy so that the snow doesn't fall on people's heads when they're coming in. And that would be a change of an addition of $594. And then for aesthetic purposes, once the building is pretty far along in construction, you get a better picture of the way things are going to look finally. And one of the things that didn't look as good as we had hoped was the teen services room. And the majority of the library, the open areas, have an open ceiling. You've probably seen them where the ductwork and everything is painted black. You really don't even notice it. But in the teen room, it really didn't work very well. So we're asking for an addition of a suspended ceiling in that room.
Hmm.
And that would be an addition of $702.45.
So are they setting aside the magazines somewhere else? And some libraries
They have, some
have a room just for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have a space that they can use. It's kind of a lobby area in front of the circ desk. And on the other side, that's where they begin their stacks and some tables and chairs.
Right.
And they were thinking of setting up their existing magazine racks in front of that.
Very popular.
Any more questions of Ms. Cooper?
So what do you... proposing to drive up somewhere for the cars so they can get out by getting wet now?
Drive through.
I don't think they'll be able to. It'll have to be one of those teeny little mini cars.
Would you say something about snow?
If it would fit through the door.
You'd say something about snow falling on their head, didn't you?
Yeah, that's outside. The entrance, entrance canopy.
Is that, you know, people wouldn't be going to the library on a snowy day anyway, would they?
I would.
You never know. Any more questions?
How much does total cost us?
This change in total was up an addition of $221.45.
Cost us more.
Yeah, $221.45.
You have a motion?
Yes, I do. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the consulting architect, that change order number 2 for Sussex County Project 0705, Greenwood Library, be approved in the amount of $221.45, thereby increasing the contract total from $2,773,682.36 to $2,773,903.81.
Mm-hmm.
You would think with the amount of money we've spent here that the contractor would have threw it in a couple hundred dollar roof.
They've been pretty good to work with.
I mean, we're almost up to better than $2.75 million. We're up to a lot of money on it.
Well, all of these change orders go through a long process of approval. It goes all the way from their proposed price, and then we decide if it's
a lot of money.
If it's too much or not, if it's practical, if it makes sense, if numbers add up, and a lot of times they get reduced significantly before we bring them to this stage.
And it's under your watch, Sam, so it's all happening.
Entertain a motion from council.
While you're seven.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion?
Yes, I think this is owning three libraries, if I have it correct. It's a very good thing, and folks from my district who haven't been here too long are kind of surprised that's all we have, and they want a whole lot more service. So I'm happy with what we've got, and yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Grant request, Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have one for your consideration. Changing Fates Equine Rescue of Delaware. They're requesting assistance to purchase hay for the winter. They receive several donations each year. However, they received 2% of the usual amount this year. The last grant they received was $1,000, and it was $200 each.
I'd like to make that motion.
Sam, you got any hay you can give them?
Yeah. Yeah. Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Yes, second.
Second, Mr. Cole, to grant $1,000, being $200 for each councilmatic grant district. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Introduction proposed zoning ordinances. Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you. There are several. The first one is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek Hundred, Sussex County, containing 16,150 square feet more or less, tax map ID 3-32-1.08-39, District 5.
I'll introduce it.
And the next one, pages are sticking together here, is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 2.3522 acres more or less, tax map ID 2-35-16-64, and that's District 3.
Mm-hmm. I'll introduce it.
Yes. Deaver introduced it.
The next one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for auto repair and sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 1.06 acres more or less, tax map ID 3-30-15-20.01, District 3.
I'll introduce it.
Mrs. Deaver introduces it.
The next one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an elementary school expansion to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, containing 26.77 acres more or less, tax map ID 1-33-17-41 and 42, District 5.
I'll introduce it. Mr. Phillips introduces it.
And the next one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a doctor's office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 8,276 square feet, more or less, tax map ID 2-34-32-9, District 5.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Phillips introduced it.
That is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Additional business brought before council, Mr. Guy. There is none.
Nobody wants to speak?
Got a lot of
people. We'll now entertain a motion to go into executive session for personnel and land acquisition.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. We'll now go executive session for personnel and land acquisition.
I have a